Hello, welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. And this week, my guest is a soul singer and a musical theatre star. He is Shauna Scoffrey. Shauna Scoffrey, welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast.
Oh, fantastic.
You look terribly fit and well, I have to say. We were just talking about the weather and what a lovely spring we were having. Yeah. And you look very sort of spring-like.
Oh, mate, I love it. I love the hot weather and the spring and the sun and all of that. So, yeah.
It cheers us up,
doesn't it? It does.
Now, you may not know, but I give all my guests a cake.
Oh, okay.
Now, other people had a choice. So you've still got a choice because there are actually four four mini cupcakes. Now, these are the best cupcakes ever.
Right, they look
They are really good.
Fantastic,
so you've got a choice of an Oreo cookies and cream one, which is self-explanatory. You can see the Oreo cookie on it. Or I think that's a more caramelly type toffee one. Is your body such a temple that you're not going to
Well, it's a temple up until just now.
Yeah.
I'm going to nick this one here.
Yeah.
The Oreo.
Yeah. Shall I introduce you while you're munching?
Yes,
I will.
Please.
Yeah. Shauna Scoffrey, hugely successful soul singer, currently playing Mufasa in The Lion King. We will talk about The Lion King in a bit. Let's get back because I like to discuss people's roots.
Okay.
So, born in London, whereabouts in London? Sorry, I know you're still just finishing.
East London. Do you know Forest Gate?
Yes, I do.
So I grew up in Forest Gate all my life, really. So you could kind of say, you know, born and bred East Londoner, really. And then my family moved to Ilford. And yeah, and that's kind of, we stayed there for a while until I moved out. And
your family were all musical, weren't they?
Yes. So I mean, my mother was a kind of, back in the day, was a singer-songwriter. So she would kind of, you know, I've got some great memories actually of her back in the day. Like it usually happened on a Sunday evening after dinner. And she was in like a girl group thing. So kind of like a lover's rock kind of reggae thing. And it's her and her two cousins. And they kind of get together and start writing songs and whatever. So me and my sister growing up our household was just surrounded by music constantly. And my dad was a kind of like a part-time kind of budding DJ at the time as well. So the thing is, it was more of a hobby for him more than anything else. But he had a vast record collection. It was huge. I mean, they'd be stacked up against the walls and cupboards. And that's when vinyl was kind of like the thing. So again, we'd have a reluctant kind of music education. He'd go, right, Sean, come, we're going to play some music. So it'd be kind of from Bob Marley to all the soul greats to the Beatles and Phil Collins, you name it, the Rolling Stones, he had it all. And at the time, I didn't appreciate it because I just wanted to go and, you know, play my cars. Do you know what I mean? So it's one of those things. But yeah, we grew up in a real musical background. Yeah.
And so obviously coming from a musical background like that, it made absolute sense that you went to study architecture, building and construction. Of course
exactly.
It did. Yeah.
Exactly.
So my next question is, if like there was a plumbing problem, but would you be able to fix it?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Oh.
I would not have a clue. The thing is, right, it's like I was just kind of trying to, you know, fit into a hole that really didn't work for me, you know. My family, as much as they were musical, they were all about the academics. So I was like, okay, you know, my dad by trade was a carpenter anyway. So I was like, right, okay, I'm going to, and, you know, go into that kind of field, you know, architecture kind of, I fancied that. So I thought, I'd have a go. And so I studied, I did that. For a year, I did a BTEC first and a BTEC National in Building and Construction. And I was just about to go to university. I was applying for university. And I'll tell you what changed my mind, actually. I was working in a building firm. And I've got nothing against it, any of that kind of stuff. You know,
be very careful what you say.
Exactly.
Don't upset every builder in the
country. And I will not upset my brother because he's just finished his master's. In the same, you know, so it's a building quantitative surveyors. That's what he does. Very, very bright. And so, you know, I was sitting down in the office and the guy said, you know, you're gonna love Fridays. I was like, oh, okay. He goes, you know, he said something silly. And I was like, oh, okay, you know what? This isn't for me. I can't remember what he said offhand, but I thought, right, I need a change of career. You know, I need to kind of go whatever. I wasn't even too deep into it at the time. But what did happen, and also what kind of helped to change my mind, was that at college I was doing just as I finished that course, I made friends with all the performing arts people in the college. So it was like, and at the time it was Idris Elba. He was there. Oh, he's one of my good friends. And it was Sarah Webb from The Influence. I don't know if you know The Influence. Mm-hmm. That like soul funk band back in the 90s. And who else was there? So anyway, so they were quite an influence on me really, because I'd be knocking about with them guys. And it was like a scene out of Fame, really. Everyone's in the canteen and they're kind of making the music. I'm on the guitar and, you know, banging on the table and, you know, singing. And so I jumped in and started singing because I've always sung. Came very natural to me. And so Idris looked at me and I'm carrying on singing. I don't know what we were singing. He looked at me and goes, what are you doing? Exactly what we just said. He goes, what are you
building
doing?
A construction.
Yeah, so, you know, building. He goes, you what? So yeah, building construction. He said, no, mate. No, man, you need to stop this. And that's when, and also Sarah kind of really pushed me, you know, she goes, listen, Sean, I've got a studio session for you. I think you'd be great at it. And so, you know, so she introduced me first to the studio and writing, and I started working with The Influence a bit, and we put out little bits and pieces. I put out little things with them as well.
I mean, I think you do need someone to sort of give you that confidence to make to take the risk, because
exactly.
It is a risk.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's safe. Of course you could have gone into building and construction. Yeah. I'm sure you would have had a very happy life and, you know, whatever. But you need someone to say, actually, you can do the other thing.
Yeah, this is possible.
But it's a risk. You said that you really learnt to sing in church.
Yes.
That your faith helped sort of push you to new limits.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, explain that.
I'll tell you how it kind of, that happened. It's like, so, you know, went to college and it was in college that I kind of, you know, was chatting to people about faith. And God, as you do, you start trying to discover new things and, you know, new ways of thinking. And I was chatting to a friend of mine. And, you know, he used to go to church, or he, you know, went to church. And he's like, you know, you should come. He goes, you know, I think whatever. So I was asking him all these questions about God and all this kind of stuff. We got into a big debate. Anyway, so, you know, I ended up going there. And I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved the singing and the music. And, you know, obviously it was something that I was discovering for myself. But I always say, you know, when people ask, you know, how did you learn to sing? It was definitely God showed me or taught me how to sing. And they go, you know, so does that make any sense? Well, you know, during like the kind of worship kind of things that we used to do there, especially worship practice, you're kind of singing to, an entity that's beyond you. You know what I mean? You can't conceive him, you can't touch him, you can't whatever, but you feel him. And so, you know, so it's a lot bigger than you. So you're always pushing the limits vocally. Do you know what I mean? Because this is how I'm feeling, so I will need to express that. This is how I'm feeling, so I need to express that. So it was always beyond you. You know what I mean? So I was always pushing limits for notes and lines, and this is how I'm feeling, how do I express that? You know, so yeah, so that kind of really set me in good stead regarding performing, you know, regarding kind of being in touch with emotions and expressing that as well.
That's fascinating, because I've spoken to a lot of people about how church influenced their singing. They were brought up with the church and then they sang in the choir or whatever. Mm. But I've never had anyone explain the faith side of it, that actually created the way they sing.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, cool.
tell me about Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis discovered you or something.
What it was? Like, I'm a huge, huge boxing fan. I love all combat sports. I mean, it took me like 15, 16 years, but I got my black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And so that's taken me like 16 years. And prior to that, I did karate. And prior to that, I boxed and Thai boxed and wrestled and all sorts. And so when Lennox Lewis, so basically Lennox Lewis was fighting for, he was defending his title against Mike Tyson. And this was in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was like, oh, and then I got a call from my management. Lennox wants you to sing the national anthem. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, right? I took a step back and I did cry a few tears because it was so overwhelming. I was like, are you kidding me? And the thing is, right, growing up as well, I always wanted to, you know, especially growing up in East London and having these aspirations of being a singer, to have my friends, you know, growing up in the estate that I grew up in, you know, watching telly, watching these big fights and, wait, that's Sean. Singing the national anthem, you know, whatever. And so anyway, so I got called to do that. And in first class, you know, first time I jumped on the plane, first class,
wow.
It was just
turned left.
Oh, you know, I was like, ooh, this is good. And at the time, so you can imagine everybody was there. Oh, gosh, I'm trying to think of Cuba Gooding Jr., Val Kilmer, George Foreman, Ian Wright, because me and Ian Wright were sitting together, so we were chatting.
So you weren't
all
nervous
that.
At all about this?
I was terrified. I'll tell you a little story, actually. I'll say a little story, but it was quite traumatic at the time. It's only now I can laugh about it. But so I went to a really prestige kind of suit designer. And so we were trying on these different suits. And obviously, you know, when they don't fit properly, you kind of get them tailored up and all that stuff. And so what the mistake I made was that trying on these trousers. And so obviously tailored them. So I was trying about 3-4 pairs of trousers to make sure they fit right. And so, you know, they obviously got them tailored up. So they must have tailored the wrong pair of trousers. So if you can imagine, I'm not going to stand up because obviously I'm on the mic here. But you can imagine the trousers were kind of up here. They look like shorts. Right, so it's just slightly longer, just whatever. And so the jacket was long as well. Designed wise, it was kind of long, just past my. But so anyway, so I was like, I went to the hotel room, you know, everything's all whatever pristine. I got this, you know, the suit bag up there, trying on the suit now. Just as I was going on to sing this national anthem, and I saw the trousers, and I was like, no. So I had to. So you can imagine, I was walking around like one of those American kind of gangster rappers. At the trousers kind of...
Did you start off that fashion? You pulled your trousers down, didn't you? Yeah, so that they were down below your bottom.
That's right. So I like
it's
to
your
think...
Fault. It's right. Your fault. All the young kids after that thought, that's a look. I'll stick my trousers down onto my bottom.
It was hilarious. And then, anyway, so that was good. So got up there, sang the national anthem and all that good stuff. And prior to that, one of the guys, I think it was the manager of the American singer singing the American national anthem. And he goes, you know, our boy is going to knock your boy out kind of thing. And I was like, no, he's not, mate. Listen, mate, we're Londoners, mate. This ain't going to happen. Do you know what I mean? So it's almost like he kind of made it a bit of a competition between his artist and myself. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is getting out ridiculous. So I jumped on the thing there when everyone had kind of come to the room. Into the, I think it was the pyramid, I think it was.
In Vegas?
In Memphis. But that's like, it was still a kind of pyramid theatre, auditorium, I don't know what it's called. So I got in there, sang the song, and she sang hers, the American National Anthem. And as I came out of the ring there, walked out, all the Americans were going, man, that was fantastic, man. I was like, oh, thank you very much. He goes, you should have sang ours too. I was like, yes,
get it. Now, how do we go from soul singer, mm-hmm. which is what you were, to musical theatre? How did that leap? Because it is a bit of a leap.
Oh, it's
actually.
Huge.
How did that happen?
You know, I think growing up, you know, I've always, like I said, you know, I always had dreams of being a singer, period. And I don't know what kind of came to my mind that a singer, if you're a singer, you should be able to sing most things. You know, we kind of, you know, and not well, but, you know, sing most things. So I was always experimenting vocally, whether it was with, you know, trying to sing opera, trying to sing whatever. I was always trying to experiment vocally. And so what happened was, so when this kind of the transition kind of happened, it wasn't too much of a big one, really. It was just kind of adjusting vocally a little bit, you know, if that makes any sense. So, you know, so for example, when I did Les Mis, it was like, you know, I kind of to deepen the tones and pronounce every word and all of that kind of stuff, where soul music you kind of slightly laid back and whatever. But what happened was, it was totally by accident. I saw an article in the newspaper, I think it was the Voice newspaper at the time, and Chaka Khan was doing a musical. It was Mama Wanna Sing. And my mum said, you know, you should audition for that. I was like, Mum, I don't want to do musicals. Jamming music, not for me, man. I'm a singer-songwriter, you know. What do I know? I don't want to do musicals. She goes, you know, you should go for it. You should, and it sounds like a really good show and whatever. And it's Chaka Khan. And I was a huge fan of Chaka Khan, still am. And so, I had an audition, got the audition, and it was an open audition, and, you know, got a small part in it. It was ensemble. And, and literally, that was it. So an agent came to see the show, liked me in it. I signed up with him. So none of it was kind of much of a chore. So I can't even look back and say, you know what, this is what I planned. This is what, you know, I planned. This is, you know, this is my strategy, and it was a mastermind behind the whole thing. I had no clue. No clue whatsoever. I still don't. And so, you know, I signed it with this agent, and then he literally, you know, auditioned for this. So the next show, I think, was The Who's Tommy, which had kind of to change the vocal, you know, a little bit more rocky, mm-hmm. rock opera. And so they said to me, Sean, can you sing, can you try this? I was like, okay. So I sang the song, tried it a bit. It's still soulful. And yeah, that was it. So yeah, cool. Have that. So I literally just been doing...
And you've talked about trusting the song, which I think mm-hmm. is quite interesting because perhaps with other genres of music, mm-hmm. musical theatre is a pretty strict discipline. Especially when you don't originate the part frequently.
That's right.
You're going in, you're singing someone else's part. The orchestra's playing what the orchestra's playing, so you can't go all over the shop with it.
Yeah.
Do you find that limiting, or do you enjoy just trusting that song?
Sometimes it's limiting. Yes, it is. Because, obviously as singers you want to express it and do what you feel is right for that song. But at the same time, when you're telling a story, it's very important to just tell the story. For example, I'm doing The Lion King at the moment. And so everything that I'm doing on stage is about Little Simba. Do you know what I mean? It's not about me, it's about Little Simba. So I have to tell the story in its purest form, as much as I can, of course, in its purest form. And, so the audience get a true picture of it. So I can't go off and start trying to riff the Mufasa song. It'll make no sense. So I'm having a conversation with Simba. So I'm going to tell the story as it is. And also I have to bear in mind is that a lot of people are coming to see the show for the first time. So as much as it might be a little bit boring and daunting from, oh gosh, here we go, they're seeing it for the first time. So I have to be true to what the piece is. Mm. So yes, very important.
But your soul career is running alongside your musical theatre career.
Yeah.
So your most recent album was Evergreen.
That was
released, 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, yeah.
Do you think your music's changed over the years? And if so, how?
It definitely has. And I think it's changed because of myself maturing, really. Back in the day, it was kind of, when I first signed a record deal, it was like, okay, what's out at the moment? And how can this fit into the marketplace? And will I be relevant? And all this kind of stuff. And now it's, because I kind of stepped back from the music industry for a long time. So after, I think it was the Sony deal. I kind of stepped back and said, okay, I'm done with this. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm loving musicals. I love acting. This is great. Until maybe 7 years ago, and I thought, okay, here we go. Something just kicked in, and I thought, I've got something to say again. And it wasn't, trying to fit into the marketplace or hopefully this will sell or whatever. I just said, okay, I had to be honest with myself. And I thought to myself, okay, Sean, what do you love? What do you love singing? You're a soul singer. That's what you are. People like to pigeonhole you anyway. So that's what you are. So just be true. And who's your influences? This is a conversation with myself. And I say, Marvin Gaye and, Stevie Wonders and, Donny Hathaway's and all this. I'm like, okay, so, just stick to your lane and see what happens. Make music that makes you feel good. Write lyrics that are true to what you're feeling. And I think, like I said, it's a bit of maturity that kind of kicked in as well. And that's when the music started to change. And I think as well, true to performing and writing and all that kind of stuff, if you're honest with yourself, if it's coming from a place of truth, people will latch onto that. So people kind of go, when you hear people say, oh, I really felt that. Because, sometimes I hear someone and they're singing and their vocal range might not be all that. In fact, they might not be the greatest of singers at all. But they're so truthful. And it's so honest, and you're kind of going, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Do you know what I mean? Maybe it's my maturity that kind of connected with the talent at the right time that kind of pushed the music in that direction. Like I said before, it's not like I can be, masterminded this thing. It's just kind of something that's kind of just dragged me along with it, really.
Well, you see, you're masterminding something because I've been spying on you.
Have you?
Yeah, and your Twitter feed says...
Yes.
Cooking up a new album. That's your words.
That's right,
words. What are you cooking? What recipe? And when can we eat it?
Right, so right now I'm putting all the ingredients in. But last year I signed with Decca, Universal. And so I literally from last year, I'm literally just working on this new album. Again, it's very soulful, very soulful. Live instruments, strings, it's quite big. But again, I'm trying to go a little bit deeper in my thoughts and, spirituality, relationships, but just kind of a bit deeper, a little bit more mature. I'm kind of coming from an angle of like, okay, how would a grown man sing this song? How would a grown man say this? How would a man of my age say, okay, you know what? How can I express myself and say this is how I feel without trying to be cocky, without trying to be fashionable, trying to be cool? How would I say this? And so the ethos of the album is that it's just some real quiet, honest, deep things in there, which I'm quite excited about, actually. Because then again, it transcends into performing. Then when the performance comes, you kind of go, okay, there's a vast amount of people there, but the music starts to kick in and you remember why you wrote the song, and then just kind of, then it goes. So it helps performing-wise. it's not pretentious, you know?
Yeah. So we've got that, and then we've got you still in The Lion King.
Yeah.
Do you have aspirations to be, to what other musical role? What have you got your eye on something in the future?
Right now, no, to be fair. No, not at all. I mean, if something comes up and it scares the hell out of me, then I'm like, yes.
You take that challenge?
Yes, I like the challenge. I like something that terrifies me. Mufasa,
do you?
Yeah, scared the pants off me. And so, yeah, I like things that scare me because it kind of, you have to dig a bit deeper, a lot deeper to kind of go, right, okay. And it makes you a little bit more diligent regarding preparation and everything else. So, yeah, I like it. I like it. But right now, no, nothing at the moment. I'm concentrating on The Lion King because, to be fair, that's a thing in itself. It takes up all my time. And juggling with the music and studio stuff as well. I can't really, my plate's full. Yeah, it's very exciting.
We will look forward to it coming out very much.
Thank
you so much for coming on our Magic Musicals and Theatre podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Shauna Scoffrey. And since that interview, his new album, Evergreen, has been released. So it's available now. That was the Musicals and Theatre podcast, and if you enjoyed that, then why not subscribe? It's absolutely free to our channel on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also hear me every weekend morning from 6 till 10 on Mellow Magic.